Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, a Fenway home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. Make a smile November until opening day. Suffering baseball withdrawal around the clock. When April comes, hey, meet me down on Yawkey Way. That's when Red Sox Nation starts to rock. I'm a member of the Red Sox Nation.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast, covering Boston Red Sox baseball. For everyone staying up late on Periscope, you can find the podcast right now just on SoundCloud and iTunes. I will hopefully have it up and running on Spreaker, Player FM, and iHeartRadio within the next week or so, so just bear with me on that. Red Sox just wrapped up a four-game set against the Chicago White Sox, which we will be getting into. I am Terry Cushman, and I am joined, as always, by Dave Kwiatkowski and Austin Hartsfield. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great. We got a new name. You got my name right. It's a great night.
You act like he never gets your name right.
It's honestly amazing how quickly he got it right, too. It was like the first podcast. He's like, I'll get it. By the second one, he was like, yep, got it.
I'm not going to lie, though. I'm not 100% confident as it comes out, but
it comes out great. It's better than whenever I pronounce anything on this podcast. So.
Like that picture, like that picture on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh God, that's my dude.
Yeah. Well, all right, we'll just get right down to business. Red Sox started game one against the White Sox on Thursday. Rick Porcello got the start, and much like his recent few, was not a good one. Gave up four runs in the first two innings. Avisail Garcia was responsible for three of them. Boston's offense was flat until the seventh inning when Swihart and Bradley drove in multiple RBIs. Bradley struck again in the ninth with another run batted in, and as well as Benintendi. J.D. Martinez then landed the knockout blow with a three-run shot. Sox win that game 9-4. Game two, Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, continuing with his recent theme, not a very good start. Avisail Garcia drove in a run in the first inning, followed by a two-run home run by former top Red Sox prospect Yoan Moncada. Game went into a two-hour rain delay, only three pitches into the bottom of the third. Neither starter returned. Michael Kopech was the other starter, pitched pretty well. Matt Davidson in the seventh inning hit a three-run shot. Benintendi put up the lone Red Sox run with a solo shot. Red Sox lose that game 6-1. Game three, Eduardo Rodriguez returned very epically. Struck out 10 of the first 12 batters. Jackie Bradley and Eduardo Nunez both hit home runs in the fifth, solo home runs in the fifth. And then in the seventh, Pierce and Martinez both hit RBI singles. And then in the eighth inning, Ian Kinsler hit his first home run in a Red Sox uniform. Sox win that one 6-1. And finally, game four today, an absolute bloodbath. Brian Johnson, only lasting an inning and a third, gave up four earned runs. White Sox went on to score four more. James Shields put up six scoreless innings in a vintage performance. Sox only mustered 5 hits all day long. They were all singles, never scored a run. 8-0 the final. So from here, we will get right into shout-outs and call-outs. And if you're new to the show, we will call out we'll start. I never get this right. That's the one thing I never get right. We will shout out players that did well throughout the series and, talk about what we liked about them. And then we will call out a player who did not do well and what we did not like about that player. So go ahead, Dave, lead us off with your shout out.
So my shout out is going to be E-Rod. E-Rod came back from injury for the first time since his ankle, rolling of the ankle over first base on a bang bang play at first. He was waited upon until a September call up, so we didn't have to make any other corresponding move to make sure his ankle is fully healthy, which was a great call, especially since we're in first place all year. But he came in, he pitched amazing. He had 11 strikeouts of his first 14 batters. He didn't give up any home runs. He walked one person, only gave up 2 hits, I believe, and both of them were not his fault, really. One was a bloop, nothing, no hard hit there, and then another one, Stephen Pierce decided to go try and play second base, didn't get back to first, and E-Rod gave up a double that, that guy came around and scored, but would have probably pitched out of the jam there and maybe into the sixth, but on a pitch count there, a little bit of one for the ankle. He threw 90 pitches, and then Corey yanked him out, so 5 2/3, and really showed us what we were missing. He had a 3.44 ERA when he left, picked up right where he left off, and with Porcello struggling recently, gave us a very nice preview of what could be our third starter come the playoffs.
Probably one of the finest performances of his career, really, or at least top 2 or 3 at the worst. Just
100%.
Electric.
Efficiency-wise, for sure. Yeah. Like strikeouts, pitches, he wasn't anything crazy. Like I said, if he didn't get that bloop single and Pierce actually played first base and not second there, he would have been out of that inning at probably 85 pitches and came out 4-6. So very efficient and impressive with the amount of strikeouts he had.
I'm gonna keep mine short just because I don't like giving this person in particular credit, but I guess I have to swallow my pride every now and then. Drew Pomeranz looked phenomenal through the 4 innings that he pitched. I mean, sure, he gave up a hit every now and then, 7 in total, but he got 6 Ks and he got out of it. And at the end of the day, if you can get out of the inning without giving up any runs, that's what your job is as a reliever. And he looked really good in relief.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He looked good. I know you hate to say it and you hate to see it, but, it's exciting just in the time that the bullpen hasn't been great recently. You need a few bright spots, and Brazier's been one. He's been one recently, and, I guess Barnes turned it around a little bit. After his blow up, and besides that blow up, he's been solid. But I'd say that it was definitely a positive, right?
I like Pomeranz, so I like to see that anyway. But confidence wise, I'm sure I'm not too far off from where you guys are when it comes to him. My shout out will go to Ian Kinsler, who coming into today, he was 0-for-3 today, but coming into it, he was 9 for his last 19, hit his first home run finally in this series, and scored 6 runs in the last 2 series as well. So getting on base, playing pretty well, still a great defender at second base, and nice to see that kind of production. So that's
definitely nice. I mean, we all know he's going to be a great defender, obviously. And if he can bat over 250, it would be very clutch. And he's been active on the base paths. He's been getting on base. And, with Nunez is playing as well as he is, and, Devers still down in Pawtucket, I'm pretty confident with Nunez at the moment there. So, we have a really good infield when it comes to hitting with the rotation of Moreland and Pierce there. So Kins was settling into his role very nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll flip it to call-outs now. So who are you calling out, Dave?
I'm going to call out – Austin's not going to be happy, but I'm going to call out Andrew Benintendi.
It's okay.
He's been bad. Just no other way really to say it. He did hit a home run in a losing effort in game three of this series. He even surprised himself. It looked like it was going foul, you know, nothing crazy, and snuck inside the pole. But other than that, you know, not a good series at all. His average is under 290 on the year now. In his last 7 days, he's batting 143 with only two walks in 21 at-bats. He's hit one double, one home run, and only has three hits during that span. So not great, obviously. He had a couple hits today, I think, or in his career against Shields, he had one or two. So
no, he didn't play today.
That's right. He didn't play. Oh, that's his career. His career against Shields was
he's
only two
for two against Shields with a homer.
Yeah, that's why. He didn't play against Shields today, but he had good numbers against him. But he didn't play because he's been so bad. So he needs to step it up. We had Mookie. We called him out the other day. He's turned it around, been on fire again. So hopefully Benintendi can do this. We have Atlanta coming up, so we're going to need him to play well, especially with the pit, with no DH. So we're losing a batter already, so we need Benintendi to get back to his Benny Bicep ways.
So we all knew that Brian Johnson was pretty bad in the first inning, but I guess I didn't realize how bad he was. I mean, he's got a 6.75 ERA in the first inning of any game that he's played in, which is ridiculous, and he's got a 3.77 any other inning. Did not look good. I mean, he barely goes in. He goes an inning and a third. That was it. Gives up 4 runs, 7 hits. Nothing was really working. Not the curveball, not the fastball. He couldn't locate. It was just a bad showing from BJ. Basically, what we thought would happen the past couple months, it finally happened today.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to get into him in a little bit, but definitely one of his worst starts, you know, all year long. So
yeah, we were waiting for it. You know, we were saying for a while we weren't going to be upset if he had a bad start, but when you have this bad of a start, you got to be a little upset, right? If he gave up 4 earned runs over 6 innings or 5 2/3, it'd be like, you know what, decent start. This is his bad start. But he had like 10 of 11 balls that were hit were hard hit balls, and he got 4 runs in like an inning and a third, 2 innings. So can't have that. Just flat out not good.
Absolutely. And getting over to my call out, I'm going with Rick Porcello right now. And with the emergence of E-Rod, you're kind of wondering where Porcello's postseason standing would be. You know, we've all assumed game three. Maybe it gets knocked down a game. But in his last, let's see, 3 out of his last 5 starts, he's failed to go beyond the 5th inning. He's given up in those 5 games, 7 earned runs, 1 earned run, 5 earned runs, 3 earned runs, and only he got a quick hook that game against Tampa Bay, and then 4 the other day. That's probably not going to get it done in the postseason, and we'll get into our bullpen as well, but we need guys like him especially to go 6 or even 7 innings, and he's just not getting it done. And in his last 3 starts, he's given up 6 hits, 6 hits, and 8 hits in his most recent start. So he's going the wrong way at the wrong time, and hopefully he gets it around, because we're going to need to be solid, you know, in those game threes and fours throughout the postseason, especially if Price goes out there and gives up what he typically gives up, or, you know, if Alex Bregman, you know, beats the shit out of Chris Sale like he has, or whatever. But we need him to be a little bit more solid. We need him to be a John Lackey type guy who can at least keep us in the games. And right now, I don't like the way he's trending.
No, definitely don't. He's been E-Rod the last couple of years recently. In the past month or so, he's got these spectacular games, like game against the Yankees and stuff like that. But the majority of them have been 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 innings, 4 runs. And it's not terrible, right? Absolutely not. But $21 million, top 3 starter, you need more consistency out of him. He just hasn't been consistent at all. And it worries me a little bit that we're in the month of September now, and this is where we need him to be. We need him to rattle off a couple of quality starts in a row, right? We need him to have, you know, 2 or 3 quality starts, even if it's six innings, 3 runs on the dot. Just show me some consistency, because the way E-Rod pitched yesterday was so dominant that
lights out.
Lights out. And he picked up right where he left off, and if he's going to continue to pitch a 3.4, 3.5 ERA, that's a perfect three starter in the playoffs. And Porcello can be the four, but you know, if Sales as dominant as he's been all year, you almost, and with the time he's missed this year and saved, you could pitch Chris Sale every 3 days and be okay. So
Porcello's on the outside with the amount of rest he has.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
The thing with Porcello is you can always tell when Rick's going to struggle within the first inning, because if you see his sinker isn't sinking, that's when you know Rick is going to be struggling. And his sinker hasn't sunk for probably about, what we would say, 2 to 3 weeks, and it's reflected in the stat sheets.
Yeah, and that's true. And like, it's like when it rains, it pours with him, and everybody's hitting him. And then in the first half of the year, in the first at least 2 months, maybe even the first 3 months, he had only given up one home run, and now it's happening pretty frequently. So that's another thing I could have mentioned that's a little concerning. And with Chris Sale, though, I don't know. And then we'll open it up for the general part of this. But with Chris Sale, like, I just don't know that they're going to want to do it every 3 days with him. I've just read into it that they're gonna want a fourth starter, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely safe to have a fourth starter. I just think if game one of the ALDS, he dominates, right? He throws 6 or 7 dominant innings, or even 8 innings. And game one of the ALCS, again, 6, 7, 8 dominant innings. And Porcello struggles the way he's been recently. I think if we're tied 1-1 in the ALCS, and I mean, if we're up 2-1 or down 2-1, if we're going into game four of the ALCS, I think they would throw Sale game four, game seven, just because if he's already thrown 2 really great starts and Porcello's been and there's no signs of him slowing down, no reason not to throw him, especially with the off days. And, you know, obviously he wouldn't be pitching games, you know, 5, 6, and you always get the days off in between. So it would be semi-short rest. But I feel like if he's that good and Porcello's struggling and we have him on the contract next year, we don't have to pay him in free agency, you know, it could be a very similar thing to some of these other big name guys that have gotten contracts recently where, hey, show me you can do it in the playoffs. Cool, you did in the playoffs. Now show me that you're not going to be a bum next year. You know, you look at Chapman, and he clearly isn't the same pitcher, but he still got his money. So you don't even have to pay Chris Sale next year. So if you can pitch him and he pitches well in the playoffs, you can throw him every 3-4 days, then, you know, that just increases his value. And if he does well again next year, it's even better. But I think with this time off, he can. They won't want to do it, but they don't have to make that decision until game four of the ALCS. So they have a lot of time to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that scenario play out. You know, I'm just not totally confident in it, but maybe the last few weeks of the season, you know, that could change. If he's having no ill effects, you know, going into the final series or two, then maybe he could be used extra. And who knows if the Red Sox really want to re-sign him at this point. You know, a month ago we were saying, yeah, we would give him 6 at 180 or whatever. But, I mean, who really knows? If he's having trouble right now in his age 28, 29 season, how's he going to be when he's 33, 34? So maybe they could take the approach where they're just going to use every ounce that they can get out of him, because maybe they don't plan to re-sign him going forward. And I know it's early to talk about that, but maybe those thoughts will creep up in October.
Yeah, I mean, do everything you can to win now. And I would not be opposed to running Chris Sale into the ground this year and next year, and then just letting compensation take itself if we win one of the 2 years or back-to-back years, right? But if we're going for longevity and we're trying to keep the starting window rotation open, we do need him. So it'll be interesting. But as long as it's nothing in his elbow, I'm not worried about it. As long as it's not Tommy John, I'm not afraid of it, even if it is a little bit here and there. Because you look at even, you know, the best pitchers that have been up and down, they've had injuries. And even look at Curt Schilling, who, you know, had his ankle reconstructed before a game. You know, he was still nails, and Lackey came back from his injury and was nails. And I mean, Lester didn't have an arm injury, but he had cancer, which you know, messes up with your mind and your body just in general. He came back and he was nails. So as long as it's not Tommy John, which is something that's a little scary, you know, you look at a guy like Eovaldi, who clearly it didn't bother him at all, but you know, you just lose time and he is getting older, like you said. So hopefully we don't have to worry about that. Hopefully, you know, this year and next year he's fine, no major injuries, and we can just sign him to a 6-year, $200 million deal, which I would give him, by the way. He's worth it.
Yeah, I'm back on the fence with it because I just don't know. I mean, if he put it this way, if we're going through this all over again next year, then I'm probably going to be totally against it, and I'm sure I'll be harping on that, you know, quite a bit through September and October if he's having either a slump or he has to be shut down for a prolonged period of time. So I don't know. I mean, and that's a little far off. You know, we are worried about now, and if they give him the Chapman treatment from a couple years ago with the Cubs where they didn't have any intention to re-sign him and just went for it, you know, no matter what, at all costs, you know, so be it. You know, it's interesting. It's going to be a huge topic next season for sure. Also, though, speaking of Sale, we got to see firsthand Michael Kopech, and from what I've heard from media, he's a rock star out there. Like, there's a huge buzz about him out there. Huge crowds are watching him, you know, before a game, do his warm-ups, and I'm just, you know, I don't know if we really won the trade. I guess this year will depend on that, but Kopech is, he looked good. He looked good. Had a couple of wild pitches, but all the potential seems to still be there.
You're going to have a couple of wild pitches when you throw at 101, but I mean, he's everything that we thought he was going to be. We were just waiting on him to get the walks down, and the opportunity to get Chris Sale was just too much to pass up. I mean, we also gave up Yoan Moncada, who's their everyday second baseman, also leading the league in strikeouts. So it's kind of, he's kind of one of the poster children for the boom and bust era at this point. He might single, he could hit a double off the wall, but 50% of the time he's going to strike out. So take the good with the bad with this trade. If we get a Cy Young pitcher out of this and win a World Series, then I think it's all worth it.
It will be. It certainly will.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I mean, right now, I mean, Kopech, you know, very similar to Sale, where, you know, you worry about Sale as he gets older. He's very violent, right? We always hear that. We always talk about it here. He's got a violent throwing motion. And, you know, obviously, like Terry just said, he's a little worried right now. Kopech has openly said he wants to throw over 110 miles an hour. And also has a violent motion and is a lunatic. So you factor all those things in. Is he going to even be, you know, is he going to have shoulder or elbow issues by 28? I think he will. And if he doesn't, he's just one of those freaks that just has a rubber arm. But he's really good. I miss him more than Moncada, to be honest with you. Moncada seems to do really well against the Red Sox. I think if you take his Red Sox
out. It's a revenge factor.
Yeah, but if you take his starts against the Sox out this year, he's batting like .218 on the year and leads the league in the strikeouts category. So he's not Joey Gallo, where he's going to hit you 40 home runs a year and bat .210. He's going to bat .210, .220, hit 20 home runs and play good defensively, but you can get that anywhere in nowadays. And Nunez is going to do that for you, minus the good defensively part. But Kinsler, and you're an older guy, is going to do that for you. Hopefully you can bat .250. So
Kinsler's his equivalent, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very
like equivalent. Actually, younger Ian Kinsler, where Kinsler did pretty much nothing but strike out between like 2011 and I guess it was 2009 to 2010.
Yeah, there was a, you know, when he was younger he did that, but you know, I think right now both teams won the trade. Chicago's clearly rebuilding and not as far away as people thought. You know, they're looking good since the All-Star break and they need bullpen help, but their starting pitchers, Rondon, Kopech and Giolito, there's their three starters next year. They're starting three. They have the young talent in the field. They have their number one prospect in baseball, not even called up yet. So they're coming, but the Red Sox got Chris Sale, and they're going to break franchise records this year, and he's going to win a Cy Young maybe, and he was great last year. So it's a win-win right now. Time will tell who wins in the long run, but very even. One of the few even trades right now for big names.
We tried to tell everybody that it was going to be a split, but I'm glad that, again, a lot like the next series that's coming up, that Red Sox fans got to see all this young talent in the south side of Chicago. Like, think about it. We got to see Giolito. We got to see, you know, Moncada. We got to see Kopech. It's pretty nice to see young talent flourishing, and we got it firsthand with Giolito.
And with Kopech, too, you know, he kind of has a lot of baggage. He's got a PED suspension, or was it a drug suspension? One way or the other, he failed a piss test for something, and then he punched a wall while he was arguing with his roommate in the minors and broke his hand. And I'm just thinking, when he was still with us, I'm like, oh, this guy's a nightmare. I mean,
he's a hothead.
Yeah, how's he going to handle a market like this if he can't handle his roommate or whatever? And then, you know, and then the suspension. And we kind of went through that with Chavis, you know, already, who I think was drafted right around the time Kopech was. But, yeah, so, and he's panning out, so, you know, more power to him. Before this series, I thought that the trade was no worse than even, kind of like you guys were saying. And so we'll see how it all pans out anyway. Let's get into the call-ups with the roster expanding. We got Erod.
Not as many as we thought, huh?
No. And we'll get into the ones we were hoping to see. But Wright and Erod kind of brought back up. You know, those were more injury-related, though, and as well as Christian Vasquez. And then Bobby Pointer, who I've always been really kind of curious about. You know, he pitched well in the spring. I'm just kind of surprised with our struggles. He didn't get another look until now, but he's up. Robbie Scott, Zhu Weilin, and Sam Travis are the call-ups. A little underwhelming. Chavis was sent to the Arizona Fall League to work on his swing. No Brandon Phillips, which is a severe disappointment to me. No Travis Lakins or Durbin Feltman.
Feltman.
Devers not up with us right now, so
I do love that development, though. With what Cora said about him and how he's been playing in general.
He's been playing phenomenal down there too.
Yeah, I like that Cora kind of told him, like, you can't come here and just coast. I do like that.
Who are you? I missed who you mentioned there. What player?
Well, I said they didn't call Feltman yet, which obviously I it's a disappointment for me. But I was saying Cora said to the media that the reason Devers isn't up right now is because he's just not good, and he's going to go with a better option. He hasn't been playing well, and Devers flat out needs to play better.
Okay.
Yeah, so I love that he kind of called him out a little bit there, and he's been producing in Pawtucket too since game one that he's been back. So I like that Cora is not pulling the old, you know, as much as I love Terry Francona, right, my biggest gripe with him was you can't lose your job to injury. That was Francona.
This is the biggest bullshit thing in sports. Like Tom Brady, like it happened to Drew Bledsoe twice.
Yes, it did. And I like that Cora's not doing that, because the third baseman's job is Devers, right? From the start of the year, and if Devers didn't get hurt, then at any point he still would be here. But I like that he's flat out saying, listen, Nunez is hot and you weren't playing well. So we're going with Nunez, and when you play better, and if Nunez slows down a little bit, then he'll come up. So I do like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, not just the performance right now, but the veteran presence of Nunez. And he's played a solid third base. I mean, has he made an error? I don't.
He's made a couple, like, throws that could have been errors if it wasn't for Moreland or Pierce. But honestly, he's much better at third than he is at second, and I've said all year that makes no sense in my mind, and I hate that, but it's true. He's better at third base than he is second defensively, so he's still a liability, but not as much as a liability that he was at second, where it's just, like, useless. And he's decent over there at third.
Not as much of a liability as Devers is as well, so.
Yeah, 100%.
He would be throwing errors. Yeah, so that's comforting that we kind of know what the deal is over there. Brandon Phillips, though, I mean, I don't know why he wasn't called up, because from an offensive production standpoint, he could be the second best infielder offensively. I mean, I think he would be a little bit better than Nunez. And then better than Kinsler, I would say. And better than what you're getting out of first base right now. You know, Moreland was hitting down around 200. And Pierce did get a couple of hits this series. But he was something like, I think, 230 or so in his last 30 days. So not a ton there. And I just feel like it was worth a look anyway. And he's not even up with the club.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would have liked to see Chavez up here. I would have liked to see Phillips up here. Obviously, Feltman, I think, needs to be up here. I think some of the other relievers maybe as well. But my thinking of it, and it's like the half glass full type thing, is that we're waiting till the homestand because we're going to see how a couple of these guys do so far and see if people start to struggle. Slash, you're going to take these guys from Pawtucket all the way to Chicago for like a day and then ship eight guys down to Atlanta for 3 days and then back up to Boston. So I think it's more of see where people are, see how they're doing, see what the need is. And then when we get back to Boston, they'll probably call up more people because it's much more easier for the players and for the coaches and everybody involved just to kind of be only an hour away in Pawtucket and kind of see like, all right, you know what? Kinsler, you know, struggling a little bit. Let's get Phillips up here. Or Nunez, you know, went 0-for-12 against Atlanta. Like, you know, we'll get Phillips there or Chavez up or something like that. So, well, Chavez is over in the fall league. But you know what I mean? I think that hopefully they're just kind of taking their time with it. They do have September to kind of mess around. So,
Just to get through some of their stats right now, I was really surprised to see Robbie Scott had a 1.86 ERA and 45 relief outings down there because he did not look good in his brief stint earlier with the Red Sox. So I guess we're going to get some looks from him. Did he pitch today? I was kind of in and out for the game.
Yeah, he pitched today.
Did he give up a run?
He did.
Okay, yeah.
He did.
Classic.
I saw him warming up, but like I said, I was fading in and out.
And the sad part is, like, if he was productive, you know, if he can be a good, solid person in this bullpen, he answers the lefty question, and it would solve a lot of our problems. But he's Robbie Scott, so I don't think that he's going to be that guy.
Right. Well, we'll know for sure here in another couple weeks. But
He did not give up an earned run today. That was Cuevas. Cuevas gave up two, and Velasquez gave up one. So Robbie was the only good one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Actually, Cuevas was actually really good. He gave up a solo shot to a guy, and at one point, every single batter he retired was via strikeout.
Yeah,
he had like six or seven strikeouts. Oh, five, yeah. At one point, he was at five or I thought six, but he pitched very well coming out of the bullpen, too, in his first start. So it was nice to see. He had some solo shots, but it wasn't like he was loading the bases up and stuff like that. So that was good to see, at least.
We know basically what Zue Lin is. I mean, he's just
a career AAA player.
Yeah,
I don't know why Phillips didn't get the call up over him.
Right.
That confuses me, like, from the start. I feel like Phillips should have been up over him. And I think even Sam Travis, like, I'd rather take Chavez.
Like, we have a log jam at first base almost.
Yeah, we do. And, like, and Pierce is literally in there just for lefties. I think this year, going into the game he started, he was batting 400 this year, they said. Or like 400 recently against lefties. Like, he's been amazing against lefties. And, like, that's why he's there. So
we know what we're going to get out of Sue Lin. He has 45 ABs and he's only hitting 178.
Yeah, like, his first week will always be solid, then he'll drop off dramatically.
With Pierce,
he does just enough. It's kind of fool's gold because he does just enough the first week to, like, kind of convince everybody and, you know, get all the you know, the quick people to jump on the bandwagon quick, and the fans get attached to him.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, 100%. And also though with Pierce, it really seems like he's only going to be serviceable against starting lefties because the last few times Cora's tried to send him in against the lefty reliever, they made a change. You know, so it's like, you know, he kind of, his upside as being a great lefty hitter just kind of gets taken away from us in the late innings. So
yeah, that's one of those things that changes, I feel, in the postseason, because if we're going to start Sandy at catcher, right, and we start Moreland at first, and we pinch hit Moreland, no, I'm sorry, we'll say there's a lefty starter, right, and Pierce is in there, that's great, Moreland starting against righties. If it's a pinch hit lefty situation for Pierce, they're going to bring in a righty. That's when you can bring in Swihart to bat righty against the now righty reliever, and then you can have him play first as well. So we can kind of play some mind games once it comes to the playoffs with that.
There's just so many people at first base now. I mean, we even saw Brock play first base the other night, which is really confusing. And
you have four first basemen right now. You have Brock Holt, Swihart, Pierce, and Moreland. You didn't need Sam Travis. You didn't need Lynn. I'd rather take Chavez and Phillips, or even Dahlbeck and Phillips.
I want a Dahlbeck, like, honestly. Yeah. I really want Lakin.
Yeah, and Lakin's as well, maybe instead of somebody else, but we'll see. I'm sure guys will get called up again, and I'm sure there'll be more injuries and everything else.
The frustrating, well, not frustrating, but the thing that just kind of leaves us wanting more is the fact that none of these guys are a sure thing. Even if it was Chavis that was up and Dahlbeck, like you just mentioned, like, we're looking for that one impact guy to plug in somewhere that's going to make a huge difference, and none of these guys, unfortunately, stand out as that. I thought maybe Phillips could, actually, but even then, I mean, it's Nunez is playing very well, so
that's the thing with this, like, nobody has it stamped on their head like, hey, I'm gonna bat 400 this month. You know, you gotta take maybe a chance on a guy, and maybe that's what Dave's thinking. You know, I mean, who's gonna do it? I mean, Sam Travis can catch fire, we all know that. You know, the no batting gloves, he can do it every now and then, but I don't think he can sustain it for a whole month. Do y'all?
No, but he won't be playing for a whole month. And I think the other part of it is we don't really need September call-ups on this team currently. Like, the only thing you would say we need it for is the bullpen, but batting wise everybody's set. Like, who we're going to play with, the only one that's a question mark is Devers. Is Devers going to be on the starting nine for the postseason roster? Like, will he be there? Other than that, we know who the outfield is going to be. We know catching's going to be, you know, we're going to carry three catchers, but we know Sandy's going to get the game one start. We know Bogart's at short, and we know Moreland or Pierce at first, and we know Kinsler at second at the moment. So really, it's just Devers or Nunez over there. And starting pitching-wise, we know it's going to be Sale. We know it's going to be Price. Erod or Porcello, one of the two, right? It's not like we're, like, you know, the Mariners right now, outside looking in. You know, could use a little bit of a spark. You know, do we need a pitcher? Do we need a reliever? We're in a really good spot, and I feel as though that's another big factor where we don't want to rush anybody. So I think Dave's, you know, Dombrowski's thinking, like, we don't need to rush anybody. We're number one in the league. We're about to hit 100 wins in, like, a week. You know, I think we'll be all right. And I think maybe that's playing into it as well, which is wild, but it's kind of the truth.
Getting into the fact that we didn't make a move. I mean, well, you know what? Let's talk about a July 31st move for a moment. Like, Eovaldi is a complete bust to me. Like, that's where I'm at right now. He hasn't gone...
Fool's gold.
Yeah. Who the hell was the guy that pitched those first two starts? You know, because he's not the guy we have right now. And Pedro supposedly worked with him, and they his landing foot off the mound, he was coming down on his heel, and Pedro's like, well, if you come down on your toes, you can command your off-speed stuff a little better. And I think that just messed with him worse. He looked even more lost on the mound, and the rain delay kind of saved him, really, from looking a lot worse than he was. And I don't know. I mean, and I'm pulling up his stats right now, but he hasn't gone past the fifth inning since that second start either.
No, he hasn't, but the Philly one would have been past that if it wasn't interleague play, and the Cleveland with third, giving up four runs. I don't think he's been a bust. I mean, he does have two amazing starts. The Philly start was really good, and the Cleveland start was... Obviously, his last two starts against Tampa and the White Sox have not been good. But he did get you two great wins. They technically won that game against Baltimore that he had that blow up in. The Philly game that we lost 7-4, he pitched well in, really well, actually. He gave up one earned run in five innings against a playoff team. So no complaints there. It's just been his last two starts specifically that have been really bad. And I mean, he could turn it around, but I mean, he hasn't been, you know, I don't think he's been a complete bust. I think if you look at what Jalen Beeks was giving us at the time, it was awful. You look at what, you know, Velasquez can do. It's good, but only like three innings. Brian Johnson's already in there because Stephen Wright was out. So I think he was helping us with the options. It's just, you know, he's been struggling the last two or three starts now, but I think he can turn it back around. There's no reason why he wouldn't be able to. I mean, he did it against the Yankees. He did it against Minnesota. He did it against Philly. Why can't he do it against, you know, Baltimore and Toronto that we have coming up? So,
I mean, we can say that, you know, yeah, but with a lot of those last four or five starts, you know, but it was still a far cry from those first two. Like, he wasn't even in the same zone as those two. And then in the last two specifically, like you said, he's just been putrid. And I don't know if he figures it out. And the one area that the Red Sox are hopefully going to be able to address here as the month of September progresses is we're going to need a solid long inning reliever guy. Like, we're going to have to identify that guy before the playoffs start. And we don't have that guy right now. I mean, Erod's going to be in the rotation. There's no way around that. Brian Johnson has a 4.94 ERA on the year as a reliever with a 1.42 whip. And as Austin was saying in the opening segment, he sucks in the first inning. He's got a 6-something ERA. So he's not a guy we're going to go to. And if Cora trusted him, he wouldn't have that automatic hook in the fifth inning. So that's not a guy you can look at. I don't think you can. Evaldi's not showing me anything right now that's going to say he's definitely the guy. Pomeranz, I don't know. I mean, if he trends upward, I know.
He blows in the first inning, though. Like, he's just as bad, if not worse, than BJ. So you can't even, if you're not going to pitch BJ, you can't even think about Pomeranz.
Well, I don't think so either. But, I mean, he at least showed us something in his last outing. And, you know, we still do have a month. But the point I'm making is there's nobody right now. And we need that one guy.
What about Stephen Wright?
Maybe.
He's coming back.
Maybe.
He's going to be ready. And Velasquez. Both of them. No, those would be my two at the moment.
Velasquez is a no for me.
Yeah, I don't like him in that start. Especially against a really good team. I mean, you know, he did fine against
some... We're talking about relief, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like, you win Velasquez in the fifth inning?
Well, right now I would. Yeah. But, I mean, he's going to be the worst, you know, that's long reliever.
I thought we were talking about the fourth starter.
The fourth starter. I wasn't even talking about the fourth starter. I was talking about
We're talking relief. About long relief.
Long relief. I think
I wouldn't trust Drew to like watch my dead dog, much less pitch in a meaningful game.
I'm just saying it's bad. It's bad.
Hopefully, we don't need long relief. Technically, like, I mean, that's like the last thing on my mind when it comes to a postseason pitching rotation. It's like, you need your three starters and you need your 7th, 8th, 9th guy. I don't think we really need a long reliever, so when, you know, Price blows, who's coming in? Or when Sale goes three innings, who's coming in? Like, I don't think of that. And you can kind of piece that together with your starters that you already have, being, you know, Johnson, who minus the first thing, has been really good this year. Velasquez has been solid pretty much all year. Stephen Wright's coming back, who's nailed before he got hurt again. And you have, and then you have maybe Porcello in there. So you never know. But
I think
I don't think it matters.
I think teams are going to be doing that, though. I mean, Terry Francona in 2016 rewrote the playbook for that, and we saw the Astros do it last year with Morton and Peacock.
But it was mostly just one guy, though. It was mostly Miller and Morton. You know, that was pretty much it. So unless we take Erod or Porcello and stick them in there. Or Stephen Wright, which would be wild because he's a knuckleballer and you never know.
Can you imagine that?
It would be crazy.
The problem is, like, if it's off, it's really off, and you're just completely screwed with Steven.
Yeah, and I love Steven Wright, and if that works, awesome, and we might get a better sense of that. But his durability is key as well. And that surgery he had, you know, with the cadaver, you know, the restoration or whatever. Dave's a lot more well-versed with that than I am. That's not really, a common surgery that's been done. It's like, it's relatively new, especially in the knee and with athletes, I mean. And so it's just a big question mark right now. And the weird thing about Wright is when he does get injured, he falls off an immediate cliff. Like, he goes from looking brilliant, basically pitching almost a complete game, to getting absolutely shelled in the next start and then immediately on the DL. So it's just one thing in the back of my mind right now where we don't have that guaranteed long reliever.
Yeah, we're going to figure that out in the next month. I think right now, if we need a long reliever, like if the playoffs start tomorrow, it'd be Brian Johnson. The reason he comes out in the fifth inning every time is because he's bad after teams get a couple looks at him. So
that's the third time through.
Exactly, the third time through. But if you throw Brian Johnson out in the fifth inning or the sixth inning for two innings, I think he'd be very efficient. Same thing with Velasquez. I like BJ over Velasquez for sure. The good thing about Steven Wright is that, A, he's a knuckleballer, so his arm's fine. But B, you know, arm injuries. So we have a month to basically see, and they're going to use them just like they did at the start of this year, where that was kind of like just when I joined the podcast, which was like he was coming in two innings a night, an inning a night, three innings every other night, whatever it was. And I made the case to, hey, if he's doing this, get him in the rotation. He helps more there, which he did, obviously, until he got hurt again. So they're going to take it easy and see how he does. Now, do I think he needs to be in the postseason rotation? No, I don't think so. I think we have enough for that. But if his knee does, he can pitch every other day in the postseason. And we don't need him to pitch the seventh or eighth inning. He's just strictly there for if someone can't make it through the fifth or sixth inning, which at this point, I feel pretty confident that Price and Sale are going to make it through the fifth and sixth. So a long reliever at this point is going to be for probably two starts, which would be Erod for sure, and Porcello at this point, which is he's getting five and six there. So Steven Wright in game three, maybe game four, an inning or two, I think that's very possible.
You know, and yeah, like I said, you know, if it works out, then that would be great. You know, I like his stuff, and it's a really violent knuckleball, you know, more so than Dickey or Wakefield. So hopefully it works out. But don't forget, though, Johnson in the first inning, as we said, you know, an ERA over six. So, you know, that would make me really nervous. But
yeah, that would be. But I feel as though before he became a starter for us in the rotation, like more than just a spot start here and there, he wasn't getting as beat up in the first inning of relief. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's go over some of the names that were available at the deadline. Francisco Liriano, Gio as well. And is it Jerry Blevins, the Mets pitcher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with him, but we didn't make a move. And a lot of people, like, the vibe was disappointing.
Those aren't guys
that you want
to make moves for, though, in my opinion, at least. Like, none of them have proven playoff resumes. You know, Gio, we've mentioned, has been really bad. So it's like, I would rather go within, like, the system.
I agree. I think the moves are made in single A, double A, and triple A right now. And just getting, you know, workmen and you know, guys like that back on track. That's what I think. I don't think we needed to go reach for a bullpen guy. We didn't need a starting pitcher, because everyone's coming back apparently with Wright and Erod. And we didn't need a bat because we have the bats down in AAA right now and fill up Chavez and Dalbec. So
we're not in the same position that Oakland is. Oakland needed to go out and get a starting pitcher. They just put their ace and their number two on the DL.
Manaea's out for the year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to go out and have a Gio Gonzalez reunion. So that move made sense. Now everybody else, nobody really made a move.
Well, with Gio, I don't think the cost was going to be high. I didn't see what he ended up going for, but he has not been great, and he is in his walk year, so there's no long-term controllable value there. But, I mean, where we just got done talking about, we don't have that long reliever. You know, maybe a role like that might have emerged for a guy like Gio or Liriano. And from what I read, Liriano has been absolutely killer against lefties, which is, you know, I mean, we're looking at Robbie Scott right now, you know, possibly taking on that role. So, So I don't know. The vibe on social media seemed to be that Dombrowski needed to do something, and nothing was done. And Liriano was the hot name amongst the beat writers in the final 24 hours. And
Red Sox social media is always in turmoil. Like, we should know that first and foremost. Like, the sky is always falling, and the Yankees acted like the sky was falling, making three separate moves.
Yeah, I mean, I truly think that this bullpen can figure it out, and there are many options within that they can explore in the next month, call-ups and stuff like that to get it going. And this bullpen is very good pre-All-Star break. It was one of the best, if not, it was a top three in the MLB. And there's no reason it can't get back to that. There's no reason that a Brazier or Thornburg or Kelly could dominate the eighth. Kimbrel, and then you just need just a seventh inning guy or a sixth inning guy.
I think Kelly's almost there too. I think he's like really close to being back to where he was pre All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked good, and you know, if Erod goes five innings in game three of the ALDS and you bring in Kelly for the sixth, and then you
clean bases,
you bring him in the sixth, you could make him go into the second, into the seventh, and then bring in somebody else, a Thornburg, anyone. And then you have Brazier for the eighth, and you have Kimbrel for the ninth at this moment, like right now today. So that sounds good to me with all the call-up, with guys like Workman and Pointer and all these random specialists and Walden. And I mean, Walden hasn't pitched, you know, much this year, but you know what I mean? Like, these guys are there, and, you know, and Robbie Scott, you know, you have all these guys. You're going to use them, and you know, even a Pomeranz, you never know. Like, we don't know now, obviously, but there are a lot of names in this bullpen that have had a lot of success earlier this year and recently, too. So, and Matt Barnes and Hembry, who, you know, they're still there.
Well, that
they exist.
Their ERAs are above five, though, and Barnes above six since the All-Star break, and Kimbrel as well.
No, they need to get it together, but they were so good pre-All-Star break that there's no reason they can't get it back together.
Yeah, but they haven't been perennially good. They've been okay, you know, at times coming into the season. And I think, you know, whether we say this fan base is just absolutely rabid, I mean, we definitely improved the least of all the other teams at both trade deadlines. Because, like I said, I mean, we're not getting much out of Evaldi. He's a big question mark. I mean, maybe he gets it together. Who knows? But we haven't really got much out of him. And Kinsler is okay. I mean,
heating up.
But what else? I mean, so many other teams made bigger, more impactful moves, and we're essentially the same team as we were on March 29th when the season got going. So
because they had the capital to make those moves. Like, we're struggling, and I think that we have probably six really good players in that prospect system, and I don't want to give up any of those guys to go out and get a guy who I, you know, might be another Evaldi and might not be the answer.
Well, how much better would you feel though right now if Cole Hamels was on this staff?
We don't have the capital for that though. We don't have the system. Like, we weren't going to outbid anybody.
Yeah, I wanted Cole Hamels from the start, but we couldn't get him. He also had a no trade, and he wanted to go to the Cubs. So that's kind of a reach of a question, because obviously I would have wanted Cole Hamels. And
he was traded for nothing, though.
Yeah, but he didn't want to come here. He wanted to go to the Cubs. he had a no trade. So he waived it to go to Chicago, where he knew he would play, and he went to an easier, you know, he went to the NL, where it was much easier than the AL.
He's comfortable.
And he's comfortable. So he didn't want to be in Boston, or else he would have been in Boston. If you tell your agent, yeah, I want to go to the best team in the league, and your says, yeah, my guy wants to go to your team, let's get this done, it's going to get done.
It's going
to
get done, like, plain and simple.
My big thing is, with everybody at the deadline, is it's just the sexy names, but take away the name, what did these guys get? Minus Hamels, which we couldn't have gotten anyway. Josh Donaldson sucks. He blows.
He's not even ready for Major League Baseball.
Not
at this
even ready
point.
For baseball. So Cleveland got a guy that they're hoping is 2014 or 15. So
Yankees did the exact same thing with McCutcheon.
Lance Lynn's been a disaster, like you talked about before the podcast came.
J-Hap hasn't been phenomenal.
J-Hap has been good his first six starts, but he had reverse Eovaldi. The first two or three starts, you know, Yankee fans are saying this guy's the biggest bum in the world. Now they're saying that it's the game one or two starter.
Here's a quick question.
I'd have taken him the whole time, but
what do we think about the McCutcheon deal? Does that tell us more about Judge's health, or what do we think?
He'll be ready to start October. Won't be 100%, but he'll be able to play. This is getting them through September without what's his face out there who sucked. Neil Walker, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this does.
With Hamels, I'm trying to look up some recent quotes, but he has been on record in the past saying he would love to play for the Boston Red Sox, and I can't seem to find anything one way or the other saying he would or would not play for us, but I mean, best team in baseball, I find it really hard to, reconcile that he wouldn't want to come here, and the Cubs are only paying $5 million of his salary, and gave
that's
up
Theo doing Theo things though.
But that's the thing. If we offered Eovaldi, I mean, if we offered Beeks for Hamels, Texas would have said yes.
Probably, yeah. I mean, they got low level A saying. Guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Hamels just I don't think wanted to come here because Dombrowski called people. He's done. You know, he's on record for saying. He's poked around other teams and was in sweepstakes for other guys, and it just didn't work out. So
we can say all we want about Dave, but we know that he was active.
Yeah,
he was
trying to get the best, you know, for his team right now. He's a win now guy. So you know he was on the phone saying, "Hey, does Hamels want to come? What do you want? This and that." And you know what if they were saying, "Yeah, we'll give you Cole Hamels. Give us Blake Swihart. No shot, right?"
Okay, put the whiteout down.
Well, with Hamels, I mean, I think they fell asleep, to be honest with you. I mean, his home numbers weren't very good. His road numbers were very good. We had a lot of lefties, so I don't know if they really saw the value in bringing in another lefty. But in hindsight, we don't have a righty anyway outside of Porcello.
Okay, so I'll give you Hamels. Name me another guy that you're really pissed off about that we missed on.
We were in play. Dave Dombrowski was on record saying we were in play for Zach Britton, and we could have made the deal, but did not do it.
Because I'm more upset about Herrera than Britton, honestly.
Britton looked really bad with the Yankees. I haven't looked at his numbers recently, but really bad start. Had multiple outings where he was booed off the mound at Yankee Stadium, and they probably would have wanted more of our now top prospects because we didn't have the depth.
And now him and Betances have to be the closers.
Yeah. So not that upset about Britton.
He
hasn't been picked out.
I'll take him over Thornburg. I'll take him over Hembry. You know, I mean, I know he got off to a rough start. My computer's acting really slow. Right? 2 months to figure it out with him. And I don't know. Here's the other thing. We've got 94 wins. Conservatively, we're probably going to get to at least 105. Conservatively, and if we don't at least go to the World Series, and some people might say we have to win the World Series, that's like, these questions are going to be asked ad nauseum. You know, I'm talking about it on September 2nd.
We're the 2016 Cubs. Like, I don't know how many times I have to bring it up. Like,
we've been
the best team wire to wire.
Yep.
You know, Now it's just time to do it in October. I mean, the Cubs struggled in October up until then, too. I mean, sure, they'd won a playoff series the year before, but still got swept in the LCS. I feel like that's the best comparison for this team in the past 10 years.
Well, they had young prospects that could actually hit, you know, and wasn't that the MVP year for Bryant, or was that the year before? I don't know.
It is. But this is going to be the MVP for Betts, probably, or Martinez, either one.
Hopefully, but they hit, and they did have John Lester, who had two rings and could definitely pitch in the month of October, and we don't have a John Lester right now. We're hoping that somebody becomes the John Lester, but we don't have it. I felt really good about the Cubs' chances all year long, and I never really questioned it. And, you know, I thought they looked really good on the field, on paper, all the way through. So I'm just saying, like I said, it's September 2nd. I'm asking, you know, did we do enough? And I'm skeptical whether we did enough. And these questions ad nauseum are going to be asked from the game we get tossed, if that happens, through the winter meetings. And you might,
yeah, of course it will.
You might see some Fire Dombrowski hashtags. You know, not from me. I'm not going to do it, but yeah. It's going to, we're going to see it. So
also in on Britain, he has a 4.06 ERA and a 1.39 WHIP, and that was lowest lower a lot in the last 7 days, where he has a 1 WHIP and a 2.25 ERA and 4 innings pitched. Hembry and Barnes both have better numbers than that, and Thornburg are inflated numbers, 1.48 WHIP and a 5.31 ERA after his 3-run home run yesterday. So very similar numbers to Zach Britton. So you would have had another Tyler Thornburg basically in the pen.
But I mean, he has the precedence, though, that none of these guys had. I mean, he was an MVP candidate last year as a reliever.
A question mark in October.
Yeah, and that's true, but I just think there's more there than the guys we currently have, and you know, we're gonna be going through this in a few weeks when we're playing really good teams, and I guess I'll say this: I want to talk about Kimbrel. Like, I feel like we've gotten totally lost, you know, from, because that's a huge issue. But in a couple of weeks, though. You know, basically, I don't know, like the 10th forward when we're playing almost all good teams. That is who we are in that three stretch. You know, if we struggle, then that's probably what our October is. Like, we are who we are in those last few weeks. If we blow through it, then good. You know, then, you know, we're looking good for October. But you know, take last year. We looked really good in April and May. But you know, that wasn't the team that showed up in October. The team that showed up in October was the August and September team. So
well, that run starts tomorrow.
We're gonna get more answers here. Yeah, and really tomorrow, because we got Houston right after, and
this is a playoff team in Atlanta who looks really good, is really like full of life and has prospects that can light up a stat sheet. So
right. Well, let me just discuss Kimbrel, and then we're at the hour mark. We'll get right into the preview. But he hasn't pitched since the 28th, and I was a little disappointed. You know, yesterday when it wouldn't have been a save situation, and I know his brain like goes to fucking Jupiter when it's not a save situation, but
it totally does.
But he needs to work this out. Like, he needs opportunities here to go in there and just play with things to somehow get guys out. And
I don't know what he's concerned about. He's not going to win the Rollins Relief Award, the Mariano Rivera Relief Award. Like, Edwin Diaz has that locked up. Like, get it out of your head and pitch in non-save situations.
Right. And go back to August 1st. I don't think it was panic mode yet with him, but I was one of the first to start chirping about it, saying, look, he's the leadoff runner for the inning is automatically getting on, and people need to be concerned about this. And you know, people would, you know, chirp back at me, oh, he's the best reliever in baseball. And you know, and I thought, well, maybe he'll turn it around, but it's September 1st now. Okay, we're on September 1st, and he hasn't figured it out. What happens if we get to October 1st and he hasn't figured it out? Is Cora going to automatically give him the ninth inning?
He will give him a chance at it, right? Like, if Sale goes eight innings and we're up 3-0 in the ALDS game one, Kimbrel's coming out. Like, he's going to come out. I don't. And he should.
Well, I'm not comfortable with that at the moment. And I mean, if he has the same month with an ERA over 5 for the month, I think Cora has to think outside the box. I don't want to.
Well, in his last couple weeks, he's been really good. His last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, he did have three scoreless, maybe even hitless starts before the most recent one where he blew the save.
So after his three games in a row that he did really bad in, and against the Yankees, Toronto, and Baltimore, gave up a run in each, including back-to-back home runs. Against Baltimore, gave up one hit and no run earned runs. Then he went three straight outings without a hit or an earned run. And then against Miami, he gave up one run, one hit, two walks. That was his last bad start, and he ended up picking up the win because we won it in extras. But he went four really great starts in a row after having three not good starts in a row. So hopefully he's just trending back up and not going to go back into the three. But you got to go with who got you here. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I want Craig Kimbrel in there for the ninth inning.
If they started tomorrow, but they don't. And like I said, we got a tough schedule coming up. And he's a choke artist in his two lone playoff appearances. We went home last year because Craig Kimbrel sucked in game four. And
yeah, that was one of the reasons why, for sure.
I mean, he's a raging head case. He can't pitch unless it's a save situation. And I don't know what the stat is now, but in 2016, as we were getting through like August, he, in 18 out of 23 starts, when he came in while the game was tied, he gave up the go-ahead run. So, it's just, I don't know. I'm not a Kimbrel guy, and hopefully we don't waste any money on him in the off season. But I just not comfortable with him, and the past precedence isn't good. And I don't know. I would respect Alex Cora more as a manager if he said, look, I'm going with Brazier in the ninth inning. If Sale goes eight and he wants to go with Brazier, I'm going to be a bigger Cora guy than I was before that game started.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be.
I would, but it bears watching, and we'll all be watching intently, you know, when he does come in, especially to see if he can get guys out, you know, via a swing and miss, because they're staying off his rising fastball, and the leadoff guy is getting on. He walked two, you know, in his last appearance. The first two guys got walked, so. I don't know. We'll see. You guys are more comfortable with him than I am.
Yeah, I just think he'll bounce back to his 40 innings, 1.17 ERA that he had pre All-Star break. I just feel like he'll bounce back to that.
Well, we'll see. We'll get into the preview now. Three games set tomorrow. My buddy Evoldi starts against, is it Tukey? Toussaint,
I believe.
Toussaint. The eye is silent.
Yep.
And so I didn't do any advanced. He's in his last he's three, good. If he even has he pitched three starts? Oh, his second career start. So, yeah, so he won his debut, and looks like he only gave up one
run. It was pretty good in that debut, too.
Yeah,
who did he pitch against? The Marlins or something like that in his debut?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, he's a great prospect. He's one of their top prospects. He's one of their top pitching prospects in general. I mean, he's a good pitcher. We'll see what he does against a really good team. I believe he played against the Marlins last time, who obviously sucked. So, interested to see with that. And same thing, kind of interested to see what we get with Eovaldi. Do we get 5-6 innings quality start of Eovaldi, or do we get 3 innings, 5 earned runs of Eovaldi?
He did pitch against the Marlins. He only gave up 1 run over 6 innings pitched with 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, but it's against the Marlins, so we kind of take it with a grain of salt. But he's a good young prospect. We just got to see what we get out of Eovaldi.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, we're very up. I think it's a very up in the air start. Honestly, I'm just gonna go flat out, give it to Atlanta just because of Eovaldi's been bad recently. But you know, Toussaint could pitch shitty. I don't know. I'm just gonna give it to them just because of Eovaldi hasn't shown me anything recently. So,
you know, and here's the thing, right, with the set. I don't know that I really want to pitch to Ronald Acuna right now.
Everything low.
I know you can't be scared of somebody, right? But the kid's on fire.
Yeah, he's gonna lead off. I think tomorrow's a bullpen day. Basically, I think if Eovaldi gets through 3, you know, without giving up at least 4 runs, then good. But I have no confidence in that guy, and he hasn't had more than 5 strikeouts either. I didn't mention that he's never struck out more than 5 in any of his Boston starts so far. So
yeah, he's a good pitch to contact pitcher,
which is crazy for a guy. Usually the guys who top out at like 90 or 92 are your contact hitters. He throws gas and doesn't strike guys out.
Well, he relies on his cutter to basically jam people out and get ground balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting series. It's one of these series right now that if we lose it 2-1, I'm not going to be in panic mode because we got Eovaldi pitching tomorrow and we don't have a starter for Wednesday.
It's an extended view because I think that this team is better than Philly. Like I,
yeah, they are. They're going to win this division. Atlanta,
more young talent, more energy. I mean, better manager. I mean, obviously Terry doesn't like Gabe, but I mean Snitker's been really good. And it should be exciting for sure.
I do like Snitker. You know, he's an old guy, and he's kind of defying the trend of, you know, young managers, and kind of won the job in a way. And I like to see that. And it's not that it's so much that I don't like Gabe. It's just I hate hardcore analytics, and I guess that's kind of why I do like Cora. And yeah, I know I complain a lot, but I do like the fact that he's not a hardcore analytics guy. And
he's old school.
Yeah, Boston, you know, doubled their analytics department in the offseason, but that was the focus of that was mostly on like defensive alignments and whatnot, and that's why we're seeing the cards come out of their back pockets in between at bats and stuff like that. And that stuff I'm all for. That's great, but I'm not bringing out Heath Hembree against, you know, like Giancarlo Stanton because he struck him out 4 times in April and May, you know, with the way he's pitching now. That's a Farrell type, you know, move. He would bring him in for that reason, even though Hembree has struggled. But
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But
who pitches game 2?
Rick Porcello game 2. So I'm kind of looking at that as Dave kind of said with Eovaldi. I just want him to show me something. If he can go 6 strong, give up 2 or 3 runs against an offense like Atlanta, then that would be great. And he's up against Sean Newcomb, who I think pretty much shut us down in the spring start. So.
He's also a stud, so, man.
Yeah, but yeah. We're catching Newcomb at a good time. He's absolutely sucked his last 4 starts. His last 4 starts, he's given up 5 earned runs, 7 earned runs, 0 to Miami, and then 6 earned runs. So he's been awful his last 4 starts, minus that Miami one. Catch him at a good time. So that's a good thing. I think the Sox take that game. I think Porcello will be a little bit better, and Newcomb's struggling because he just hasn't been good against anyone. He played Colorado, the Brewers, and Tampa, 2 teams that are playoff bound maybe, and Tampa Bay, who's been on fire recently. So
this is gonna sound so ridiculous, but like the most important at bat of the entire each game is literally the first at bat, because if you let Acuna launch one and get another leadoff home run, because I think he has 8 now, like you're already down nothing, and you don't want to get down 1-0 and give this team more confidence than they already have.
Yeah, it's big. And on the flip side for us, we have Mookie Betts, who can do that as well. And because we don't have that DH spot, it's going to be tough to get runs to begin with. So we can't be down the hole. And game three, question mark for us. We got Folty going for them, who has been great this year, just, you know, wire to wire. So
part of the reason that they're in the position that they are.
Yeah, exactly. His last start, he gave up 4 against the Cubs, but prior to that, you know, 5 great starts in a row with all under 2. So I'm going to give that game to them because I don't know who's throwing for us. Now, if Sale magically comes and throws for us, that's different. But, you know, I think they win this series 2-1, but I don't think it shows us who we are. I don't think it starts for pitching-wise until we get into our actual rotation. Hitting-wise,
though. We have a DH.
Yeah, not even that. Just hitting-wise, we need to show who we are because we're playing everybody but, you know, an extra guy. But Mookie, Benintendi, Bogart, JD Martinez, anyone that's playing there is going to be playing during the postseason. They need to hit. You know, our spot starter, Eovaldi, are not going to be pitching in the AL, and pitching at all as a starter. And Porcello right now will be the 4th in ALCS. So we won't even see him in the DS. So I don't mind pitching-wise. This is a strictly hitting and bullpen type of series for me. I don't care about the outcome. I just need to see some life from hitting and the bullpen.
Question, who do you think the starting outfield is tomorrow?
Is what's his face, a lefty or no?
Toussaint?
Yeah.
No, he's a righty.
Then it's going to be Benintendi.
Benintendi. JD. Bradley, give JD a day off.
I heard JD was gonna sit in 2 of these games, so
okay, then yeah, so definitely they're gonna let JBJ probably play tomorrow because I'm assuming one of these guys is a lefty. I don't really know off the top of my head. Newcomb's a lefty. No, that makes sense. So Newcomb, who's been good all year, and then Folty is a righty. So I'm assuming that JBJ will sit game 2 and start game 1 and 3. And JD will get game 1 and 3 off.
So I mean, it all depends on what happens tomorrow. And I think that they actually get to Tuki Toussaint. You know, it's only a second start, and it's against a really good batting Red Sox team. You're not playing the Marlins again. So I think they get to him, and I think they take 2 out of 3 because I don't think that they win the third start.
Well, another thing, too, is we're kind of lucky that the Yankees are sucking right now because this does not look like a good series for us on paper as far as pitching matchups go based on the recent trends.
No.
So, I mean, it's nice that we have the lead that we have, and it looks like...
Yankees suck against the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, even if we were tied right now, the Yankees have Oakland coming up. Like, they could possibly get swept from Oakland.
I'm gonna say this real quick. The AL East has the keys to the AL wild card in the next week, basically.
Yeah, because they can control it.
If us and the Yankees manage to take care of the AL West teams, you know, just take the series, it could swing it in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, if we go out and sweep Houston and the Athletics sweep the Yankees, I mean, that's huge. Right.
Yeah. Then Oakland.
Did Austin cut out there?
I think did so. I? Okay. Well, you're fine now.
You're back
so.
Now. We're at that magic moment in the podcast where everything starts going to shit.
Yeah.
Well, 10 o'clock Central Time.
That's right.
With the Houston series, though, it sounds like Chris Sale's going to open, I guess, and Price is going to start, so who else is in there then? Johnson, I guess?
Yeah, BJ would be in there for sure then somewhere.
Yeah, so maybe 2 out of 3 at best with them, but yeah.
Well, what do you think of this Atlanta series, Terry?
Yeah, let's stay on the Atlanta series.
Shit's all getting fucked up.
I'm going to say we're only winning 1 out of 3. That's what I'm feeling.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know.
I'll be the optimist.
No, be the opposite, because you know what? If we beat Toussaint, then we probably will win 2 out of 3. But I think we're going to win 1 out of 3. I'm not going to be upset as long as we produce with the bats. If we lose the game 8-7, so be it, against with the Baldy starting. And then if Porcello pitches well, whoever the spot starter is, I don't really care. Well, but I'm looking forward to see how we hit good pitching again. And what they got, three good pitchers there, so I'm excited for that.
Non-MLB wide viewers, from the Red Sox fans' perspective, first view of SunTrust Park, by the way.
Yes, that is true. I've not seen it yet this year.
One last thing, though, and we'll just talk some MLB stuff and then head off, but I kind of want them to start Johnson against Volpe on Wednesday, because that would open up Porcello for sure on...
to make the whole Houston series an audition.
Yeah, just to kind of get the matchups right. And so, I don't know. And Johnson only went, what, 1 1/3 today, so that should be fine. Yeah. So, yeah. But like you guys were just saying, you know, new ballpark, so that'll be interesting. What else is just going on, though, right now? We're pretty comfortable with the A's winning the NL East. The Cubs, how did they look over the weekend?
Javi Baez hit his 30th home run, 100 RBI.
That's ridiculous. Only other Cub to ever do that's Ryan Sandberg, and that's a huge name in Chicago history.
Yeah, he could be a low-key MVP there, along with Arenado and even Christian Yelich at this point, but... NL-wise, nothing too crazy. I guess the craziest thing, I mean, nothing in the East going on. Chicago's starting to take a stranglehold of the Central. They're up 5 games on the Brewers, 5.5 on the Cardinals. So they're back to their winning ways. Just the West, really. You had the Dodgers kind of handle the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks had some poor relief pitching, specifically with Bradley, as Matt Kemp destroyed them. So they're in first place now all of a sudden, 0.5 game up for the Rockies, game up on the Diamondbacks. So kind of flip-flop from last time we talked. They were 2.5 back out. Now they're 0.5 game up. Probably the most exciting thing.
Caught the Cubs at the wrong time.
Yeah, they did. They did catch the Cubs at the wrong time. But LA's looking good. I mean, if Kemp can keep doing that, that's definitely helped with their lineup-wise. And, you know, the Rockies are hanging around. And I mean, it's going to be interesting. That's going to come down to the last weekend.
Yeah, and what about Oakland right now? Because the AL wild card is interesting, and I know Minaya and Anderson are both on the DL.
Yeah, I heard Minaya was out for the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's out for the year, which really hurts them. Obviously, their ace and their best pitcher since day one.
They handed Seattle, too.
Yeah, they did. They're up 5.5 or 4.5 on Seattle right now. But, you know, the Yankees kind of play big right now because the Yankees go from Oakland to Seattle to Minnesota. They're on a 9-game road trip. But if Oakland sweeps the Yankees or takes 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and the Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the Mariners, that puts the Athletics, you know, 2 or 3 back from the Yankees. But, you know, 6 or 7 up on the Mariners going into the final, you know, stretch here.
Yankees have to go to Oakland, by the way. Have to go to Oakland.
Yeah, it's a 9-game road trip for them. It's Oakland, Seattle,
wow. And those.
Their September's kind of as tough as ours, really. And then they have us, you know, twice.
Yeah, they basically use the same schedule and just move the teams around. They normally play the teams right after us, or... That's usually how it goes with the schedule making.
Yeah, they got it got interesting all of a sudden because of how well the teams are playing for them. They play Oakland, who's a playoff team, Seattle, who's trying to be a playoff team, us,
Minnesota, who thinks they're a playoff team,
Tampa Bay, who thinks they're a playoff team and playing like one, and then us at the end of the season. Their last 7 games, they play Tampa for 4, us for 3. So, and they don't play Tampa well to begin with, and now they start out the month with Oakland and Seattle. So they could be in a lot of trouble when it comes to, at the end of the year, just, you know, having to play that wild card game where it's going to be played. They're only 4.5 up on Oakland right now. If they get swept, they're only 1.5 up. So, going to be interesting there. They're running CC, Happ, and Severino. And Oakland's running Cahill, spot start, and then Fears. So, still some good pitching matchups, as Cahill's been great this year, and Fears has been good as
they
well.
They don't have a Baltimore start in there, do they?
They play Baltimore right before
the right camp. After
is right. We play, they play us, Baltimore, Tampa, Boston to round out the year.
Oh, okay.
So they get a Baltimore in there. But okay. They also,
I was just making sure. I thought that was weird that they didn't, and we did.
Yeah, I skipped over Toronto and Baltimore for them because, obviously, who cares?
The Indians have Miller back on the DL, but I saw on MLB Network that the feeling there is that they're kind of taking a similar, like, Red Sox, Chris Sale approach where they're
so just... So he's fresh.
Yeah, they're just resting him, and they have the luxury to do it, so...
Yeah, their division's the worst division in baseball, so they can have the luxury to do that.
Yeah, because when I first saw that, and it was for a shoulder, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know? I mean, is that guy ever going to be healthy? But it turns out it's more of a phantom thing, so... yeah. So with Oakland, though, do they have a shot at winning the division at this point? Because they're only, what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And a half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're like 2.5
and
back.
Tonight's not over, by the way.
Yeah.
The Angels are only down one to the Astros right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angels are down one currently, so.
And now with Minaya out, though, I mean, is that a game changer for us? Like if, say, Oakland were to win the wild card against the Yankees, which I think is still perfectly reasonable. I mean, they could...
Yeah, send one game for sure.
Yeah, fires out there. Like, not having the guy that no-hit us could be... Like, is that a game changer for us? Yeah,
that's a huge mental block.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. And, I mean, to be fair, we only would see him once, maybe twice anyway, because they would have thrown him in the wild card, right? And then we would have saw him, what, game three, maybe? So 3-5 or 2-5, something like that, but... It's huge. It's mentally big, and on top of that, it just lowers their rotation. So they have to throw Cahill or Fears in game one of the wild card, and then the opposite of that, game one of the DS, and then game two, I don't even know who they're going to throw at this point. So,
well, actually,
real quick tidbit, pitching the Los Angeles Angels right now, Junichi Tozawa.
Hey, there you go.
They're screwed.
yeah.
Anderson, his injury is not thought to be serious, and he could be back maybe within the week. So
there you go. So game one wild card will be Anderson, and if they win that, it'll be Cahill Fears as the 1-2 in games one and two. I don't know which one and two, but then you'll have Anderson game three. So
yeah,
that's what you're looking at there.
All right. All right, I guess we can pretty much wrap it up on that. So, got some afternoon baseball tomorrow, then we'll be back on Wednesday evening.
All right, sounds good, boys.
Sounds good.
Talk to you then. All right, have fun, I guess. Well, thanks everyone again for tuning in to the first episode of the Benny and the Betts podcast, and I'm not gonna lie, I had to write out my intro that way I wouldn't flub it, because when I changed it from the Fire Feral podcast to the Avid Boston podcast, I just flubbed it for at least three shows straight. So thanks everyone, hope you enjoyed it. A lot of interesting talk, because there was a lot to really go over, you know, as far as the roster call-ups and the lack thereof, and the lack of any moves on August 31st. So we'll, like I said, be back on Wednesday evening, and hopefully we do better than what a couple of us were just talking about would expect against the Braves. So 2 out of 3 would be great. Have a good start to your week, everyone. It's a kind of insane.
Listen up,
football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.